Okay, again, I'd like to greet you in the name of Jesus. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how marvelous. What has he done for us? More than what we can ever repay. Again, as I look out across the group here, it's such a blessing to see so many that are interested in Christian education that we've heard somewhat of the history of. I don't know how it's affecting you, but to watch this timeline travel, Brother Gerald is sharing with us, it is bringing us closer and closer to what we have to deal with today in the truth of Christian education, the value of it. However, in the sessions, we want to look at some things that, practical things that actually challenge and somewhat can endanger those classrooms and schools where that Christian education is taking place. Again, just a reminder, the box for the fox is in the hall out there. We're actually going to get today into some of the practical areas of identifying these little critters and talking about them. And I'd like to say early on that as we begin to identify these things, you may ask yourself the question, how do I in a classroom deal with that? Again, we are responsible for our classrooms and not what goes on at home, but we need to work closely together with home. We really do. These things often have their roots in what goes on other than the school. But we deal with the repercussions of them in the school. The top there is the same healthy vine with the precious fruit. This time we're going to look a little deeper. We're going to look at the roots, at the nutrients that are necessary for this vine to exist and grow and flourish. And what we're going to look at is more relationship related. Relationships are a very deep, crucial part of working with people in any situation or any institution. On the overhead here, we see these things that are found in the root system down there, in the nutrients where that root system's working. Root system in any plant is a complex thing. It takes in nutrients that are transported all through the vine that are necessary for the development of the fruit. Let's remember again, this is the Lord's vineyard, and the bounty of it is His. So the responsibility of us as husbandmen is to be very conscious of what that vine is growing on, feeding on, and ultimately carrying through it. I'd like to liken that the vine itself to relationships. Working relationships run between all parties involved. It's the connecting transport system of humility, compassion, honesty, truth, trust, open communication. Relationships flourish on these things. Open communication is the catalyst that carries it and motivates it through that system. Let's remember that. Open communication. Okay, the devil wants this system to fail by any means possible. Anything he can do. Yesterday, we took a little look at this fellow and his job that he's doing there. Some things may seem insignificant. Some things we might not even think of. But with them come a spirit and an attitude that threatens the relationship that will stop the nutrients. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever seen or experienced working with grapevines and pruning them. In the South, we need to have them pruned before Valentine's, because once the sap has started to move and the nutrients have started to rise, the vine will bleed severely. I mean, you can actually, in the South, you can actually watch it drip, drip, drip. So we want to do it before that starts flowing, because the life and nutrients don't need to run out of that thing. And when I think of what this little fellow is in the process of doing, I'd like to place that up there. His work is being done. What's happening there? The things that we saw that were so necessary are bleeding away. If you have experience teaching, have you sensed this setting in your classroom where you have felt something is slipping away? My connection, my relationship is not getting to where it needs to be, and it's not carrying what it needs to carry. Well, it's very easy to happen with things that are left unattended in our classrooms. And we're going to directly get into talking about some of those here real quick. One thing I'd like to talk about that goes along with relationships, and I pointed out specifically open communication. I feel like and have been blessed with being, and I learned it the hard way, y'all, is being open and communicating openly with children, which takes different communication skills with different levels of children addressing different issues. But being open with them as to what we expect, what our goals are for them, and what the goals of our class are. And then pulling us together as a team to work together to accomplish those things. This is a working of relationships. Now, in my classroom, most of my talking was done on a table in the front of the room. And I would often have a corner of that table. It was Mr. Witt's perch. And I'd sit on that corner of that table and they'd know, oh, no, we're not going back to work right away. We're fixing to have a discussion. And those discussions weren't always addressing negative issues. That's where relationships are developed. Bringing them into our lives and letting our lives flow out to them so that we can get a common goal in what we're working on. We're developing a class spirit. Once they understand what a class spirit is, then it's easy to come to them and talk about things that are threatening our class spirit. Some classes don't know what a class spirit is. When we think of relationships, I'd like to go back to this simple diagram. Again, that's us in the center. Around us are our charges. I want to talk about the space that's around those charges. That's where I can freely and easily move. I'm not hindered. I don't feel like I'm intruding, and they don't want to stand back at hand's distance from me. I can feel when I step out among them to work that I can feel what's between us in those relationships, what's flowing, what's growing. And again, that is so important, because when we have a classroom where those relationships are properly maintained, it's as though we can feel a peacefulness wafting through our classroom a peacefulness that helps us work towards success together, not something that's wanting to stay away. You know, I just don't feel like, you know what, those feelings are kind of static in a classroom when things start breaking down. When established authority can freely move and everyone enjoys the setting, there's a proper respect. Teacher to students, students to teacher. A classroom in a school like that is not only stabilizing to that classroom, but to the entire school. We're not looking at individual classrooms only, we're looking at entire school settings. Okay, we're going to start identifying some of these little fellows. I'm going to move right on through them. Bad language. Of course, we don't want that. He's easy to identify. I'd know his track in a heartbeat. But what is the spirit behind bad language when it comes into our classroom? I'm not talking about just filthy, vulgar language. I'm talking about dirty jokes, things that also go with that, that bring with it a mindset that is attached to a spirit that is much deeper than that. We dare not allow things like that to go on in our classroom now. Excuse me. I'm going to talk about these things. We're going to identify these things, but we have to realize that overlooking these things is one of the worst things we can do. As husbandmen of the vineyard, if we see the track, the critter's there. So let's be careful that when we identify it, we don't overlook it. Okay? These things can be actually something that become a part of someone's life that is almost addictive, using bad language. And bad language is language that is not acceptable. You know, it's, I don't know how many of you have dealt with bywords. Where do you leave the seeds that are going to grow bad language for you? I've found that working with it all the way down to the degree that we want to clip bywords and unnecessary expressions, things that stem from lack of self-respect and control, those things left go have a spirit that goes with them that's really darker and deeper than what we know. I have dealt with it in a degree. I came into a classroom once that had all kinds of bywords. If you dropped a pencil, it was smart to say something. Use names. I can't even think of one of them. Maria Sue, you know, slammed the door. Oh, Maria Sue. It just didn't make any sense. But what it was an expression of something that was telling me is deeper than that. It's a lack of control, and it's driven, if left go, it will drive and motivate itself to something much more serious than that. Just these little byword things. And to just give you an example of that, I had a class one time, or a group of students when I first came, that it was just rampant. And it wasn't all just as innocent as Maria Sue either. And I challenged them. First, I talked to them, because that's a policy I firmly believe in. I wanted them to understand where we are, not just get on the issue itself. Oh, I could have just up and shot the critter and thrown him out the window. No, I wanted them to understand why we're doing what we're doing. That's the relationship part of it. That draws them into it. After I explained it, they agreed that this probably isn't a good way to operate. I ask them now, can you do anything about it? Sure, Mr. Whit, we don't have to do. We don't have to say those things. I said, really? Can you do something about it? Of course we can. I said, okay. I'm going to challenge you. Young people love challenges. They just love adventure. I said that the next time you do that, we're going to start on the playground because that's where it was the most colorful. Next time it's done, you just simply step out of the game. I could see confidence all over their faces. They all had full intentions of playing this baseball game to the end. It all started with a boy that was playing shortstop. And he was a boy that I'd had confidence in that, you know, he really wants to do what's right. I believe he did. But that ball came out through there, bow! It hit, took one nick off the ground, and he was closing in on it so smoothly, and it hit a bump a little harder than he thought, and it went between his arm and his glove. What happened right after that made me scratch my head for about 30 seconds. He just started walking for home plate. And he just walked up there and plopped down right beside backstop. I thought, Titus, what's wrong? I shouldn't have done it, Mr. Witt. Okay, I understand. Good for you. Well, we continued playing ball. I don't know, we'd gone through a couple of innings and I had more folks sitting around the backstop than I did playing ball. I said, let's have a talk, y'all. I said, Mr. Witt, I think it's going to be a little bit harder than we thought. I said, I think the roots run deeper than we thought, don't they? I said, but are you still willing to accept the challenge? Yes, sir. I said, let's go for it. And we continued. By drawing them into it and making them part of it, they rewarded us with a classroom that was just about free of that stuff, except in times of rebellion and disrespect. I could hear it creep back in. Then I saw his tracks again, and we dealt with it. Professional sports, big issue. Professional sports has with it a spirit that we don't want in our schools. That is not, it undermines the Christian school. It brings with it a competitive spirit that says, I'm better than you and I will put you down. If it's allowed to be demonstrated out on the playground, it follows us back into the classroom with its dark spirit. Okay, I don't know how many of you have ever played sports like baseball and football that are considered, you know, the pro sports, soccer to that degree. Now, I know Brother Howard had a football game going out here yesterday, and I really enjoyed watching it. With a twist is what made it different. But I played it that it wasn't with a twist. I played it in high school. At least I went out for it. And I wasn't really prepared for the darkness that was involved in that. People say, oh, they pray before they go out. At least I've had students that challenged me with that. I told them, have you ever been there? Well, I have. I've been in that locker room before we went out on the field, and we left our heart right in there because I was going out there to get that fella. Now, people pray for different things, but my nature never was to meet conflict and challenge like that. I prayed that I wouldn't get killed. I don't know what some of the other prayers were. And I was that little fellow on the end down there that was supposed to take off running down that field like a jackrabbit, and they were going to throw the ball to him, you know. I didn't want the ball. I was afraid to catch the ball because these guys are going to try to kill me for that little piece of leather with air in it if I do catch it. So I ran, and when I did catch it, I could run. I was motivated by high-octane fear. But I wouldn't want that in a Christian school for anything, nor what comes with it. Watch for that professional sports. It has no place in a Christian school. Boy-girl relationships. Oh. Help us all. One of the most unwelcome places I've ever found myself is between a young man and his admired. I was not welcome there. That, some people say it's natural. It is in its time and place and setting. Puppy love is dangerous. It's not cute. It grows up to be dogs that bite. And boy and girl relationships are something that we don't suffer with them and deal with them as much when they're in the younger grades. But as they come on up to the older grades, it gets a little more difficult. This is one that we need help with out of this classroom, because in our culture and setting, there is more interaction at church functions and things like that where this thing can be fed and stimulated. But as we look at what it does in the classroom, it's going to come between the teacher. You're going to feel something starting to happen. And I'll just give you a little bit of an example of what that, well, I thought it was. But what I'm going to explain is that the circle with the dots, if you could imagine a few of those dots starting to be circled with something that says, I don't want you in this. It comes between us and them. Again, those nutrients that we saw going up, our relationship, all of that becomes hampered because boy and girl relationships. I've taken groups of girls and explained to them something that I don't think they really thought about. And the reason I say girls is because I found it a little more that the girls feed it sometimes, and then the boys kind of catch on, and it's cool to be the man involved in this thing. But I've explained to them, if I would have a crystal goblet here that's just absolutely beautiful, sitting up here on a shelf, and that is engraved with two hearts. I mean, that thing's valuable, and it's beautiful. It's yours sometime. There's only one name in one of those hearts right now. That's your name. If I take that down and give it to you to play with, or maybe we'd even give it to your little brother or sister to play with, what would you think, or how would you feel? Well, he might break it. Exactly. It could be damaged, right? So let's put it back on the shelf and save it for when God takes it down and gives it to you. And God will even put a name in that other heart someday. But right now is not the time. I've had boys to try to defend the situation. And when I explain to them that where this relationship is meant, this stuff is meant to lead somewhere, when are you handing out invitations? Oh, Mr. Witt. I said, after all, what are we doing? Bring them into the situation. Draw them into it. Explain it to them. And then tell them that we're not going to have it. And if it leads to that, it has with me, suspension from school. I think that woke up a lot of people and said, they're serious at school. We've got to get a hold here. Work on it. Okay, worldly fads and fashions. As they walk in and sit down with our classroom, into our classroom, they often bring with them the spirit that created them. This greased hair and this rebellious, you know, I am who I am, I look like what I am because this is me. That starts circling our little circles fast. And there's the world, I'm amazed, really, at how fast worldly things like that are really they're based in the darkness of the world, how fast they can make inroads among our people and into our classrooms. Again, it's difficult to handle these ourselves. We need help from a school board. We need a parent group that supports this vision. This idea has to be shared with them and it has to be grasped. We had a young fellow just in the last year or so came to school, and he had picked up this fad that we see some of, the low pants, open cuffs. I'm cool. I felt my relationship I was going to have trouble reaching this boy. And he came, he even got pretty low with his pants. I don't know if in the North y'all have as much trouble as we do in the South, but that's really a bad fad. We were out on the playground, and I'd had enough. I kind of talked about it and talked, you know, in a roundabout way, but I was failing myself. I wasn't using my system of communication, being just open and addressing it to the group. And when I did, the spirit that's behind it, they grasp it. And then I was ready to deal with it. Once we have drawn the line that they clearly can see it, and they still want to cross it, we have no choice but to deal with it. And he tried one more time out on the playground. He came with the low-hung pants and came back in. I just addressed it. I told him, you've just shown your class the size and brand of something we don't want to know. And we don't want to see it again. And I made it very plain. For Mr. Whit keeps a pair of suspenders in his desk drawer that he will hand out to be used. And that was the end of that one. Okay, unthankful attitudes. You know, what is an unthankful attitude? I have to think of littler ones, bigger ones. It's more of an area to deal with, but little ones, when you've prepared a little something and you hand it out to them, you know, this is a treat. I don't like that. How do we deal with that? How do we help them to build? You know, thankfulness can be learned. It is something that can be taught. So, if we just ignore that, that's okay. You don't have to eat it. We're missing an opportunity right there to help that child develop something that will be very important in his character, in his life. Thankfulness. And often it requires punishment to do it, but don't accept it. Sit down and talk to them about what unthankfulness is all about. Again, go back to the relationship. Unthankfulness, what it really is, what it means in our spirit, and what it can do to us not to know the joys of being thankful, what it robs us of, and then move in on the punishment end of it and make it plain that you don't want to hear that at all. Although you can see it in their eyes, you've just handed them a treat or they've just gotten something, you know, that you wanted to do for them, and you better not say it. It's not allowed. If I see it in his eyes, even, that he wants to say it. I love those. Those big eyes. He just ate mine. Yes, he did. A little later, I saw it on your face. It's still there. We're going to work on it. Be serious with it. And you'll see them beginning to work on it, I believe. There could be much more time spent on each of these, but time is a precious commodity. Tattling. Oh my, this can wear a teacher down. Tattling. Again, it's something that needs to be openly addressed. You know, a lot of little children don't really understand what tattling is all about. They just think they need to tell when somebody did something wrong, or it's in the human spirit to want to lift myself up at the expense of identifying something that was done wrong over here. But tattletales can just wear a teacher out. Address it head on. First, explain what tattling is all about and how we do not want it in our classroom. Be open with a minute and then move forward. I got the opportunity of teaching first grade for about 2 weeks this year. Scared me to death. I'd rather teach older students any day. But, and my heart really goes out to y'all that work with younger ones every day. But, just not acknowledging that, you know, hands up, you can tell that this other one just wants to identify something so bad. We're not going there right now. Work with it proactively. Help them to learn to control it. It is not acceptable. And at the same time, let's be careful there, because a child can become fearful of sharing with a teacher because he or she won't listen to me. Be careful there. This next one is one that can affect all levels of school. Cliques. What did they do in our classrooms? Don't overlook them. When you see these little groups that have these special friendships and they kind of isolate others, they're isolating you too. That circle wants to get close to other circles like it, but it doesn't want anything to do with you and your authority. A clique. It's a selfish thing. It may seem innocent. Some people call them special friendships. They're not. They'll eat your class spirit for lunch. Sit down on the corner of your table, get on your perch, and work on that with your students. Help them to understand how each of them has a special place in this classroom. And each of them is special for the success of this classroom. And when we start isolating each other or grouping each other together and pushing others away, that dangerous spirit will just fairly spoil all aspects of a classroom. I've had that thing that I was dealing with it, that even just to go somewhere as a class, certain ones had to get in the back van seat together and made, you know, just, and the ones that weren't accepted into this thing, they felt that. And what does that do to them? It naturally makes them want to draw to someone else. And soon this vicious thing's divided into clumps, and where's the poor teacher? Wandering among the clumps, trying to figure out how to get this thing back together again. Talk about those things, identify them, and then go to the individuals and work with those individuals. Don't tentatively approach that thing. Be open with them as to what this thing is and what it's doing to them and their class and to you as a teacher. Y'all, some of the nastiest fallouts I have ever seen is among some of the best friends. And again, I guess I saw it worse among some girls. It seems like cliques are a little bit more common there. And my, oh my, have I seen some that just wouldn't accept good advice and sound instruction there, and then bang, it flew apart. The nastiness that came with it. But the clique was over with. Disrespect. Now, as we go through this thing of talking about disrespect, we're getting close on time, sure enough, here. This is one that I feel is a serious, very serious thing. These other things I've talked about If I were to ask you, if your classroom was like a smooth pool out here, and I had rocks, and I chunk them into it, it'd make little ripples. We're just going to say these things that I'm dropping in here are some of the things that we've been talking about. Bad language. Professional sports. Just going down the line. Boy-girl relationships. Worldly fads and fashions. By the way, this represents our classroom. What we're allowing to be in there by not addressing it. Unthankful attitudes, tattling, cliques. We're not addressing them. They're there. But I'm sorry. That last one there, disrespect, this is him sitting here. This is one of them. He's a much bigger creature to deal with. Disrespect is dangerous. Because of what grows disrespect? Where does it come from and what does it do? Disrespect in our classroom, especially open disrespect, tells me that I have serious problems. Now, I have been there. I have been there. When there's disrespect shown, it didn't start today. Comes from not dealing with these a lot. These things left go will end me up over here. Now, if I up and chunk this one in your placid pool, he's going to make a big mess. He's not easy to deal with. But again, I found disrespect can be taken on and handled in a way that just can really be redemptive and beautiful. First identified. This one people get into, children can find themselves in this category. And this is a heavy one in our classroom. Children can find themselves here and not realize how they got there. Because of circumstances, a breakdown of relationships. And when it comes to the point that they're willing to show disrespect to us or feel it, our class spirit has probably been done away with or is chewed up pretty bad. And now it's come to them disrespecting me as their authority and leader. There's a lot of things I can do to damage disrespect myself as a teacher. And we're going to get into some of those tomorrow, more teacher-related issues that can lead to disrespect. Lord willing, we'll talk about some of the things that can be my fault. Some little foxes that I can not want to see. And by not seeing them, they do damage that bleeds the very life out of my classroom and my class spirit. So, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll look at some things that'll help us understand a little more about what that big rock is all about.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.